Good morning again. This morning, in our Sunday school lesson, we talked about faith. I want to talk about faith again this morning in our worship service. My title, if you will, for this lesson is By Faith They Overcame. And our scripture, as was read from Hebrews chapter 11, that one verse 32. I will read it again. And what more shall I say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets. What I chose to talk about this morning is sort of a common thing for some people. You know, every beginning of the year, or pretty much every beginning of the year, there's always someone that's going to have a New Year's resolution. They're going to change this. They're going to start that. They're going to do things. They want to make their life better, which is nothing wrong with it. Some people can stick with it the whole year. Some people can't. I've learned myself personally that I just leave it up to God, and He'll lead me and do what He will. I can't change anything anyway. I can change some things, and most of the time when I try to do something, it always ends up being wrong. But I'm still working at it, so I'm a work in progress. Some changes are good. Some decisions we make, we need to make for health purposes. We need to do some things, and that's always good. Most people want to improve their life, and they believe they can make their life better for themselves by removing some foreseeable problems that they know of, you know, especially if it's something that you know you're not doing. I know one of the things when I was younger that I did, I used to smoke cigarettes, and I kept telling myself, you know, the beginning of another year, I'm going to quit this year. When the cigarettes got up to, I think they were like $2, I told myself, if they go up anymore, I'm going to quit. And they kept on going up, and I kept saying, I'm going to quit. Finally, I did quit. I know I'm the better for it. I thank God that I didn't, as far as I know, I didn't catch cancer yet. But some things, like I said, is good. But some things that we have, problems that we have, habits that we have, God knows it. You know, He knows your habits. You can strive at trying to change it. And He wants you to change some stuff, you know. Yeah, some things, you know, is good. And when you become a Christian, you're supposed to change some bad habits. You're supposed to change your life so people will be able to see that, the example that you set. And they can believe that, well, if He can do it, I can do it also. And that's a good thing. From John chapter 16, verse 33, the Bible tells us that in this world, we'll have tribulations. Tribulations, which is foreseeable and unforeseeable problems. It can also be known as trials, distresses, frustrations, and suffering. We have that. We've had it. If you didn't realize it when you were younger, you had it then. As you got older, you still had it. In some cases, you had more of it. The older you get, some cases you will have even more. Sometimes in certain situations, you might have a few less according to how you live. Hopefully, that when you became a Christian, you may have a few less problems in one area, but you pick up more problems in another area because you're living a life for Christ then. So it's almost as if you put a big bullseye on your back and you walk around and everybody just take a shot at it every time they feel like it. But that's good because you're supposed to be the example. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. We're supposed to live for Christ. If we don't set the example, who will? And we go through life trying to do that year after year. And we try to do better. We stumble, we fall, we make mistakes. We get back up, and with God's help, we keep on going. Regardless of whatever years may come, we all gonna still be faced with the same thing. Difficulties, obstacles, problems of everyday life. That's what life is about. We have help. I put it to you, only you can answer this question. What has your life been like since you accepted Christ, as opposed to what was it like before you knew Christ? Only you can answer that. I'm sure you have experienced more difficulties, more problems. You may have ran into some situations that you didn't particularly care for. But because you was trying to live as a Christian, this is what came with the package. It's supposed to make you better. And I, for one, can tell you I'm still a work in progress. As long as you live, you will be a work in progress. Because nobody on this time side of life is perfect. We try to be, we work at it, we do our best, and God still knows we have problems and we got some things that's just a little hard to overcome. I can't remember. I think it was Paul that had the thorn in his side, and he asked for the Lord to remove it. And the Lord told him, "My grace is sufficient." Some things we just gonna have to keep, and it's for a purpose. We may not know what the purpose is, but it's for a purpose. I believe personally that it's so God can show others that we are not perfect, that we do have some problems, and it gives them hope. If I can see what somebody else is struggling, but they're making it, and I realize God is helping them, that gives me hope. If he helped them, he'll help me too. John chapter 16, verse 33 also tells us that Jesus has overcome the world, and that he's done this for us, so that we can put our faith in him. When we believe in Christ and put our faith in him, that faith guides and protects and empowers us to perform God's will, even amidst great trials. As life goes on, you will come upon times when you may not know which way to go, what to do, how to get out of a situation. And you know, some people, they try to bargain with God, like, "Lord, if you help me get out of this, I'll do this, I'll do that." And you know, soon as you get them out of it, they forget all about their promise. You know, that's human. And again, the Lord knows. When we can't bargain with God, how can you bargain with someone that gives you everything? You know, but we think we can, and we'll make promises. It's something just, we don't realize, but that's just foolishness, because we think we're doing something that we're not. But the one thing that we can't never change, or should never change, and we should never lose it, as we talked about this morning, is our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, from our lesson, we're going to talk about in just a moment. The men that I'm going to talk about, which were in the scripture, they put their faith in God because it was before Jesus' time. But they knew about God, and they knew where to put their faith. They trusted God, and they followed him. Now, we know God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Godhead three. We have all the more reason to put our faith in him, regardless of what. No matter how hard times get, no matter how dark it gets, no matter what happens, because whether you know it or not, when you get to the point where you can't do nothing else, what else do you do? Lord, help me. Well, we should be saying that first. Lord, help me. We call on him to carry us through difficult times and obstacles. As I mentioned, the four people we want to look at from Hebrews 11:32: Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah. Four examples of men from a period of judges. And this was a wild era in Israel's history, when men did what they wanted to do that they thought was right in their own eyes. That is from Judges chapter 21, verse 25. But these men had faith in God, and they were blessed by that faith. Gideon defeated the Midianites. Barak defeated the Canaanites. Samson defeated the Philistines. And Jephthah defeated the Ammonites. The one fact that draws our attention is that these four men are mentioned only here in the New Testament. And another fact is each of these four men had sufficient character flaws. God knew all about the faults, but he honored their faith anyway. Now consider their faith was like ours, mingled with fear, soiled with unbelief and doubt, spotted with compromise, and troubled by human reasoning. Now, if you think back over your period, think back over the past year, did you experience any of those situations? Fear of something? Unbelief and doubt? Wanted to compromise with God, if you help me get through this? And your thinking, your reasoning, I got this, I'm going to figure it out. And then when you realize you can't get it, Lord, help me. It's a human trait. It happens to the best of us. And at some point in life, if you live long enough, it will happen to all of us. But we still have God on our side. And that's the one important thing. No matter how much problems we have, no matter how many changes we want to make, no matter what we think is best, what we're going to do to make ourselves look good, feel good, be good, the best work we think we can do for the Lord, and sometimes we're not, he still knows. Let's look at Gideon. He was fearful. God tapped Gideon on the shoulders and said, I'm going to use you to deliver my people. The angel of the Lord came to him one day and said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Judges chapter 6, verse 12. Gideon asked God to give him a sign, unmistakable proof that he really had called him to lead Israel. And he even named the sign. Judges chapter 6, verses 36 to 40. Only then did Gideon finally believe what the Lord had told him in the beginning, when he performed the sign that Gideon asked him to perform. Like I said, we sometimes want to make a deal with God. If you just help me get through this, we pray earnestly when it's something we really want. And then as soon as we get it, we forget. Not uncommon to other Israelites. As we talked about this morning in our lesson, how soon we forget. You ever had a friend that you helped out, and then when you call on a favor from him, "I can't do it"? How soon they forget. How many times people have lost loved ones, and you say, "Anytime you need me, anytime you want some help, anything I can do, just call me." And they call on you, "I wish you had called me sooner." Like we know when we're going to be in trouble. We don't know. When you look at Gideon's life, you don't see a man of great faith. You see a man of weak faith whom God used greatly. That's in the book of Judges chapter 7. As long as he thought he couldn't do it, he was right. But once faith replaced fear, he won the mighty victory for the Lord. We have to put our faith in Christ and keep it there, because the devil is constantly at us 24/7, and he's trying to shake that faith. He's trying to pull it. You know, when I look at a football game, and those guys be running that ball, and they get almost at the goal line, and here comes somebody behind them, and they punch the ball out. Sometimes we like that. We think we got it, and the devil does something to us, and we lose it. And then we lose it. What do we do now? Where do we go? We got to go back to the Lord. But you have to put your faith in him and continue to hold it as tight as you can, regardless of what, through ups, through downs, and believe that he's going to bring you through. You ever had somebody come to you and say, "Let me ask you something. I know you ain't going to do it, though, but I need you to help me do so. If you know that they know you ain't going to do it, why they ask? You know, there's a saying, it won't come to me right. I can't get the words right, but in essence what it's saying, if you need God's help, pray. But if you ain't going to trust him, don't pray. You know, why we pray to him and ask God to help me, and then you don't think he's going to do it? If you don't think he's going to do it, why should he do it? You didn't believe him in the beginning. Let's take a look at Barak. Barak was timid. God raised up a woman prophetess named Deborah, the only female judge of Israel, to represent him. She was clearly brave, decisive, and bold. After 20 years of humiliating oppression at the hands of the Canaanites, she judged Israel because none of the men would step up to do it, to do the job. Man, she didn't just up and say, okay, I'm going to do it. She had to have been inspired by God. And he had to have been with her, or else she wouldn't have stayed in that position. And since Barak commanded the army, Deborah sent for him and told him to go into battle. She even gave him the battle plan, Judges chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Now, God gave her everything to begin with. She gave it to Barak. So God was with her all the time. All he had to do was just follow the plan. Barak showed his timidness in verse 8. If you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go. Because of his timidness, Barak was told that Sisera would be handed over to a woman in verse 9. And that did happen in verse 22. If the Lord was with Deborah, he chose her to be the prophetess. He was blessing her all the time. Barak had to know that. He had to, because she was the judge. If she gave him the plan, he had to know that it came from God. Why was he timid? Why was he scared? Then he tells her this. So, he led the troops in battle, but he didn't get the credit for the victory. He was considered a man of faith, but he was timid when he should have been a strong leader. And sometimes, I don't know what it is. I think of my past experiences within myself. Like I said, I can't talk about nobody else. I can only talk about what I've been through and what I've experienced. There's been times I didn't know, which we never know, the future. We don't know what's going to happen. You know, we think we got the plan laid out. We think we're going to handle it this way, that way, and it don't work out. And then we call on God to help us out. Still don't know what the outcome is going to be. But at that point, what other choice do you have? Either you stay in a situation, keep suffering, keep hurting, you keep doing the same thing, you keep getting what? The same results. You got to trust God, and then things change. You got to pray to him and honor him and put your confidence in him for things to change. But he was timid. We experienced that as humans. Another reason why we have to try to be strong as we can in our faith. Continue to pray to the Lord. Continue to read his word. Continue to rely on him. And when things don't go your way, all we can do is wait. But don't just say, well, I prayed and the Lord didn't answer my prayer, so I ain't praying to him no more. I'm not going to church no more. I'm not going to follow the Lord's way. Please, don't do that. Because then you can find yourself in a worse situation than you was when you thought you was in a bad situation. Trust me, I know. I've been there. I can testify to that. Another one, Samson. Samson was out of control. Some most common known facts are he defeated the Philistines. Delilah tricked him into revealing the secret of his strength. His eyes were poked out, and he gained revenge by killing 3,000 Philistines in one of the most dramatic death scenes in the Bible. He could be thought of as the American Idol of the Old Testament. One of his life, it could be truly said that he had unlimited potential. Good looks, great strength, popularity, and the blessing of God. Okay, forget all the rest of that. The good looks, the great strength, the popularity. If you got the blessing of God, that's all you really need. I mean, who cares about the rest? Because God is going to bless you. Everything going to work out for you anyway. No man in the Bible started out with as much going for him, and no man ended with less. Now, Samson's characteristics is a bristling bundle of contradiction. He was a man of faith with a weakness for women. How could that be? He was a man of prayer, given to uncontrollable fits of anger. I don't understand. He was a leader of Israel who lusted after Philistine women. What a man. He was a man of God who lacked common sense. He was empowered by the Spirit, yet he often lived in the flesh. Some terrible faults. And you say, how could that be? God still used him for his purpose. And that also shows me, number one, which we all know, that regardless of what, especially me and anybody else that we may get as a leader here at this church or any church, he's still just a man that God uses for his purpose. And when I talk about men, please don't get offended, but that also applies to you sisters also. God uses, I just explained about Deborah, he uses who he pleases for his purpose. But we can do some good things, but we're still just human. And some people, and I try not to let it be me, get the big head because they have done this, they have done that, they have hated this, they have hated that, and they think that they are more than what they are. And all the time, God is using them to do what he needs done. And people put their faith in the person. We're supposed to put our faith in God. Trust God. Go by his understanding, not ours. When we look a little closer at Samson, we see his most basic problem was he never learned how to control his emotions. And so they controlled him completely. Proverbs 16, verse 32 could have been written about him. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. If you can keep control over yourself, that's a 24/7 job. Because the devil is always at you 24/7. But God is always with us 24/7 too. I like to think that every time we use that terminology, the devil seeks who he can devour, walks around like a roaring lion. So does God, right there to protect. If you put your faith in him, he will protect you. He will always make a way out for you. But if you're not going to trust God, if you're not going to believe in him, why should he? You know, you ever had hopefully you never have, but you ever seen somebody else have a child, and they give that child everything they want. That child thinks they can always get what they want because that parent gives it to them. And when a child grows up, what kind of respect does he have for that parent? Because the parent gave him everything. The child doesn't have any. And he still would think the parent's supposed to continue to give it to him. Why? Because the parent continues to give it. The parent never taught them to respect them. He just spoiled them. And in turn, they will end up suffering behind it. God is not going to spoil us. He loves us. He loves us more than we love ourselves. And we say that all the time, but think about it. You do wrong, he still forgives you. He blesses you every day, even though we don't say thank you. He provides for us, and we just take it for granted. And he made a way for us to live with him forever, spend eternity with him, give us opportunity, and we don't even take that. But he still loves us. And he gives us time and time again, gives us chances. We keep praying to him. But of course, one day, that will run out. And it'll be too late. We have to take advantage of that while we can. Samson's life shows us that it is very possible to be empowered by the Spirit of God to do great things, and yet not to have your life yielded to the full control of the Holy Spirit. As I said, because we are only human. We are just a man. We are just a woman. God gives us the choice, and we have that choice to do what we want to do. Samson was not perfect, just like the rest of us. He found himself continually battling anger and illicit desire, just like the rest of us. Oh, you say, I don't battle anger and illicit desire. As we talked about in our Sunday school this morning, if somebody hits you, what you gonna do? That's a battle. You got to either do what God teaches us to do, or we do what we instinctively do as human. Hit me, I'm going to hit you back. That's not God's way. We don't battle anger or illicit desire. You don't get mad. You don't desire the curse. You don't desire to do wrong things. You don't desire to do things that you know is not right. You don't battle against that. It's a struggle when someone in front of you drop money and you don't pick it up, put it in your pocket. You say, hey, you dropped something. You didn't just do that because you was a Christian. Because there was a time when you wouldn't have done it. You had to learn not to do that. He could sometimes do amazing things for God, just like the most of us. Given a chance, we could. Most of the time, we would. But you have to have that desire. And he could turn right around and make incredible, stupid mistakes, just like some of us. My mom used to tell me when I was younger, you're just like a cow. Draw a good pail of milk and kick it over. I didn't understand what she meant until I got older. I do things that's good 1 minute, then turn right around and mess up. Can't believe you did that. Sometimes I tell myself, I don't believe I did that. What was I thinking? Oh, I thought I was doing something right. We are weak. We are human. Still, he began to deliver his people from the Philistines just as the angel of the Lord said he would in Judges chapter 13, verse 5. And the last one, Jephthah was foolish. Jephthah had a rough beginning because his mother was a harlot. His brothers turned against him, so he ran away and gathered a group of thugs to form a gang. He was a man from a bad background who became an Old Testament gang leader. We don't have to, I mean, we see it all the time on television shows, but we can just look right around in your neighborhood, where you grew up, people that you knew, and you might say to yourself, I wonder what happened to them? Why they do that? Why they live like that? What caused them to do that? They sure are not living like godly people. They used to be nice. Now they're the type of people I don't want to be around. The language is foul. Don't lay anything down around them. They'll be gone. And don't cross them, because they'll fight you just to look at you. People like that. But they didn't used to always be like that. But now they are. Or then we say, well, life has just dealt them a rough hand. Yeah, it did. But God can still use people like that for his purpose. And he did. As various and new enemies rise up against the people of God, various and new deliverers are raised up for them. Jephthah was raised up to deliver Israel from the Ammonites. Now, a caution to us, you and me, not to despise or trample upon any, because they are mean, nor to be injurious, you know, to bring harm to them, to any that we have advantage over. You know, don't take advantage of people because you can, you know, because you have opportunity. Because whatever we think of them now, the time may come when we may have to need them and may be glad to be beholden to them. It is our wisdom to make no man our enemy, because we know not how soon our distresses will be such as that we may be highly concerned for them, for him to be our friend. In other words, the same people you meet on your way up, the same ones you meet on your way down, you don't know who you may have to go to for a glass of water. And you don't know who you may need to help you. That too, I have experienced. I'm thankful that I haven't got caught the blunt end of some instances. But I have been in that situation. And I try to remember that, because I know one day it could catch me on the other side. This was the case or situation the people of Israel found themselves in when the people of Ammon made war against Israel. After Jephthah had been thrust out, disgraced, they had to fetch him back with honor and ask him to fight for them, when they didn't like him at first because his mother was a harlot. His own brothers didn't consider him as a family member. People laughed at him, talked about him. Now they need his help. That's the kind of person that they needed. Because he was a roughneck. He didn't mind fighting. We need somebody like that to fight our enemies. After much negotiation, he accepted. In Judges chapter 11, verses 30 through 31, we found that he made a foolish mistake just before he went to battle. He made a vow that if the Lord helped him win that battle, he would make a burnt offering of whatever came out of his house when he came back from battle. And as it turned out, it was his daughter. Foolish mistake. He didn't have to make that vow. I don't know if he calls himself showing off or what, but he had to keep his word. because he did that. So as we live our lives from day to day and from month to month and year to year, we desire to make ourselves better and consider we should consider making our faith stronger to the Lord. And if we do that, we will be better. Because Christ knows our faults, our weaknesses, our strengths, and our purpose of being is to do God's will. Although imperfect and flawed, he can still use us to be an example of whatever purpose he chooses. I hope that this lesson will benefit you. Christ has told us, he told his disciples, and we are one of his disciples, from John 14, verses 2 and 3, that he goes to prepare a place for us, and where he is, we can be there also. But it's the way in which we can be there and things we have to do. We call that following the plan of salvation. We have to hear his word, believe in what we hear, repent of our sins, confess, and be baptized. And then comes the hardest part. It is to live like we believe what we say. Because we're going to be tested. We're going to be tried. We're going to be put in the fire. And fire opposed to purify. But we go through the test. We are not going to make it without testing. And the only way we're going to get there is through Christ. Because he's the only one that gave his life for us. If you have anything on your heart, in your mind, that you would like to come forward and help us to pray for you, you can do so as we sing the invitation song. I hope this lesson be beneficial to you, and may God bless you.